Venice Diary.
Hello and welcome live from the Lido. Welcome to Global Critics Venice Voice on Fred Film Radio. I'm Rita Di Santo, your host, and I'm thrilled to be joined by two splendid colleagues.
I'm Mona Jadid. I work for Al-Ahram Daily newspaper in Egypt, and I'm also Middle East correspondent with Screen Daily.
And I'm Gudula Moritz. I work for ZDF and Srisat at German television, the public broadcaster, and more specifically for the daily arts program Kulturzeit.
So this is our third day, isn't it? It's already, we feel already that what the shape of this festival, where this festival is going. What do you think?
I think the competition this year has a very good selection, very big names. So we have a big expectation for all the films. So until now, we saw the no other choice for Park Chan-wook, and we saw also Jay Kelly for Bamboo, and also very big names until now. And also Del Toro was today with Frankenstein. And I think the competition is going to be very hard this year for the awards.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of buzz already ahead of the festival whenever the program got published in at the end of July. And so far, I think it's been living up to it as well. Many big films, big names. You mentioned already Del Toro today, one of the three Netflix films in competition. And of course, the three Netflix films play a vital role in making a difference also compared to Cannes, because Cannes famously doesn't accept any Netflix films in competition. Mm. So this is, of course, something Alberto Barbera can rely on, you know.
Mm. But I think that Venice has got something more, because Cannes is wonderful, it's going very well, but it's a bit strict, this policy with Netflix.
Yes.
And maybe if you want to see really international, the international global cinema, to see where it's going, you cannot skip something made by Netflix. What
yes.
do you think?
I think we can see that in the past few years Netflix had made many films that are very good, and they are always competing for awards. So to have this strict rule until now, it's absurd, really, because also now Netflix is changing its strategy, and now they have a release in cinemas. So I think festivals could reconsider this decision and do what Venice is doing. I think Venice was had a good decision to do this. It was good for Venice to accept Netflix films.
Yeah, well, I guess secretly they are sort of regretting it. But at the same time, you know, cinema is like considered the seventh art in general. You know, it has a very high reputation. It's like the opera, and the world premiere of a new film is really like going to the world premiere of an opera. So I think he's also a bit restricted in the way, I'm talking about Thierry Frémaux, what he can do and what he can't, you know. But very obviously, he would have liked to have Frankenstein in competition, as well as House of Dynamite. And obviously, no one really refuses George Clooney, you know.
Yeah, but every day has this very big title. Now this day, the third day, I think that definitely is the day of Guglielmo del Toro and this Frankenstein, this dark tale based on Mary Shelley classic novel that brings the icon tale to life with stunning visuals and complex character. And have you seen Frankenstein? What do you think of what is it something relevant to today's life of this Frankenstein?
Well, to me it is. I mean, it is a classic tale, as you already mentioned, you know, and of course it's also about just human existence, and it's a drama about relationships and all that. But of course today it's also, artificial intelligence is just everywhere at the moment. It's also actually everywhere in the cinema. It's here in Venice as well. I mean, yesterday I talked to Park Chan-wook about it. You know, it's also a big topic in his film. You know, no other choice. But Yeah, when I was seeing this film today, I was thinking about artificial intelligence and about the relevance of this rather classic movie, surprisingly classic movie, actually, because it's really like a big piece. It's like a big traditional Hollywood movie in a way, you know. I would have expected a little bit more references to today, but there aren't at all, really, you know. But of course, you have to dig through the first layer, and then of course you will have this echo chamber. You will have this. You will find these references as well. And on this level, I really like this film.
Yeah, it's a story that is set in the 17th century. It's about this doctor that wants to challenge God because he wants to, like he says, we are we born and we can't control that, but can we control death? So it's like wanted to turn the impossible into possible. And at the end of the movie, I was thinking, wow, can we ask the artificial intelligence the same question? What is going to be? So it's quite an interesting topic, and how incredible it talks to our time. And you had an interesting conversation with the Korean director.
Yeah, with Park Chan-wook about it. But I just wanted to come back to Frankenstein for a moment. I mean, it is a very humane story, the way Frankenstein is doing it. And again, a little bit like in The Shape of Water, it's, for me, the emotional side was very strong. Again, most strong when it came to a sort of love story. I mean, the love story is more developed in Shape of Water, but here we have, let's say, aspects of it as well, you know, in a different way, in a different matter. And but this obviously needs these touching elements as well. And for me, it was really also about relationships and human experience. But as you're right. I mean, Park Chan-wook yesterday was very much concerned with artificial intelligence, not only as far as his film is concerned. I mean, he had this really interesting point that he thinks, I mean, it's not really a matter of do we have artificial intelligence or not, are we dealing with it? Of course we have to, but where will we be on the hierarchy of artificial intelligence? Are we the ones who are losing the jobs, or are we the ones who are basically managing it, you know?
This is a huge topic
at the moment.
He's an incredible director because he has that kind of creativity. When I was watching the movie, and he's so good on the create the atmosphere and the environment. I'm sure that it's like every single piece of furniture, everything that appeared on the movie is important for him. And in the castle where the doctor works is amazing. And the imagination of Del Toro, I like how this unique unique creativity works on this Frankenstein legend.
Yeah, you can see the $120 supposedly dollars from Netflix are well spent. You know, they will definitely get some nominations for this, you know.
Yes.
Also, as far as the setting is concerned, you know, all these kind of more technical Oscars, I think. I'm not so sure about the actors, the acting performances, you know. I mean, I find it quite striking that, for instance, Oscar Isaac, you never really see a close shot from him, or very little, you know. I think, and also Jacob Elordi, you know, he's playing the monster, and I mean, he's a two meter guy anyway, or almost 2 meters, so that fits in a way. But I would have thought that you could have done more, you could have triggered better performances or more outstanding performances. The performances aren't bad, but they're not outstanding, I think.
Yeah, I don't think he goes very deep with his character.
Yeah.
He doesn't go deep. It's like from the start of the movie, it's like very plain, his interpretation to the end. Maybe it changed at the end, but he's also... he has line, but I could see that it's like almost stuck with the idea of this crazy doctor, and he doesn't give any other side. We don't see many. Yeah. many side of this girl.
Yeah, it's almost like more a conceptual movie, I think. You know, it's I was also thinking in this in the cinema when I compare it to Shape of Water, the performance of, I think it was Sally Hawkins, yeah, the British actress. I mean, it really stuck in your mind, you know. She was really strong. And Mia Goth, again, funny enough, and she's, you know, she's a love interest of the monster, is striking and charismatic, but the role isn't as well developed, you know. But so, yeah, that was a bit of a pity.
I have to say, thinking about Nosferatu's last year, I think this is a much better idea than a movie of like something like Nosferatu. So definitely is a great director. I'm just, what do you think, how the audience in Egypt will react on this?
For Frankenstein?
Yeah. Well, do they know Del Toro? Do you know, yes, how they're familiar with this director?
Of course, because after The Shape of Water, he became, of course.
All his movies are distributed in Egypt?
No, I think only The Shape of Water, and Pinocchio was screening until now it's screening on Netflix, but not in cinemas. But for The Shape of Water, yes, people was very interested in it because of course it was in the Oscar and he won an award here in Venice. So people were familiar with the film and they loved it. They loved the idea. It was like people were always laughing about it, how human became very bad. So that's why she have a love interest to an alien. So yes, the Egyptian loved the Shape of Water. But for Frankenstein, I don't know if it's gonna have the same any reaction in Egypt or not, because sometimes it's. It's difficult to have a film that is challenging God in Egypt because not because of the audience, but maybe the censorship wouldn't allow it. I don't know. I don't know yet. Obviously, I didn't see the film, but if I see it, I might have an opinion about how it's going to be received in Egypt.
But I know that the director, I spoke with him maybe 15 years ago, and he was constantly talking about this. And he said that he's, in his home, he has a huge statue of Frankenstein. I don't know if he keeps saying, if he still have that statue at the entrance. I was imagining his house a bit like the laboratory of the doctor when he was talking about that. But he loves to this character, and he wanted to make this movie for a long, long time. So I'm glad he made it, and I'm glad he had Netflix that allowed him to spend a bit of money.
A bit of money, yeah. You can say that again.
I think the best thing about Del Toro is that he creates his own world. He has this imagined world, and it's really great about his work.
Also, what I felt, thinking about Frankenstein, all the other edition, other movies, it's like very close to a horror movie. But it's not. Then maybe I'm thinking, because we are in 2025, is allowed to do this. Because one of the moments in the movie, I felt like I was in one of the exhibition. I don't know if you know the artist that makes sculpture with the body with bodies.
Yeah, I know you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, and then I felt maybe the audience is ready for this project now.
Mm-hmm. And
because I didn't have that feeling of horror or disturbing images, even if it was working with the body. What you felt?
Well, we do have these kind of body splash movies now and all this. It's not really so much of a horror movie, you know, horror, and it hasn't got all these very quick cuts and, you know, these kind of classical people coming from behind and you know who it is and these kind of things, you know. It's not this type of horror movie. So, nothing. It's the genre. I mean, I'm not even sure. Is it not even more a fantasy?
I was also.
Fantasy horror movie. But, you know, we are talking about his cinematic visions now. And I think this is something, again, that I slightly regret, you know, because we were talking about Shape of Water. Shape of Water was really broad, had a really huge theatrical release. I think it was still a 20th Century Fox or whatever, you know. And whereas this film, is a Netflix movie, mm-hmm. and we don't know. It will have maybe a very small pro forma release. It will have to, otherwise it won't qualify for the academic award season. But I'm not really sure whether it'll have a proper theatrical release in Germany. And I mean, Germany is like a big cinema country as well, you know. And with this film that really lives from his visions, his architecture, his settings, that's a pity. And I don't really think it's what Guillermo del Toro really wants. Mm. I think he really creates films for the release in the theaters.
I think he made the sacrifice only to have whatever he wants, to have a big production for the film. He sacrificed releasing it in cinema and going to screen it on Netflix. And I think in Egypt it's going to be the same like Germany. We won't have a theatrical release for the film. It will be only on Netflix. It's not going to be screened in cinemas.
Then we had another title today in competition, Gianfranco Rosi, the second Italian director in competition with Below the Clouds, Sotto le Nuvole, about Naples, and it's again black and white. And Gianfranco Rosi, as probably all of you know, won the Golden Lion when Bertolucci was one on the jury. And he's definitely a great director. I think in this one, it's a nice look of the movie and the points that he touched about Naples and the Vesuvio. But I had somebody sitting next to me. I don't want to say which country it was from, but I could see the Vesuvio. I could understand immediately we were in Naples. And he said to me, "Is this Italy?" I was like, "Yes." And after half an hour, this guy asked me, "Oh, but that is Naples." I said, "Yes, it's Naples." Because the audience was laughing and we had lots of nice jokes. But I don't think the movie was really, it can be really understood outside of its territory. Hmm. And
First of all, I would like to say that Gianfranco Rosi, of course, is famous also in Germany because he won the Golden Bear a couple of years ago with
Fire at Sea. So always I had in mind, okay, Fire at Sea, so I'm going to watch something amazing,
spectacular,
another documentary.
Where he's just watching a little boy eating spaghetti, so that was also very Italian to everyone. And this film, this today, was of course quite different. I mean, it's about Naples set in the present, but also Naples set in the past. I mean, it's really spanning like 2,000 years, so to speak, you know, starting with the destruction of Pompeii, almost 2,000 years ago. And then it's sort of crisscrossing all the time and coming back to the present. And if I compare it now with Fire by the Sea, which was Lampedusa in Germany, it was about the migrants in Lampedusa, I wasn't so affected by the film, I have to say, in an emotionally sense. You know, I mean, obviously he's a really good documentary filmmaker. I mean, it's very well done, no doubt about that. But and it has various levels. It's like it's in the presence. He's talking about the people ringing the fire department because again of earthquakes, but also in order to find out what the time is. You know, these are the things that are really funny. You know, they have these people who regularly come in and maybe just need someone to talk to. I don't know. You know, and it's the Vesuvius is somewhere. In the back, but it's not so in the center. But of course, this is what's still very much dominating the area of Naples. And it took me some time to get into it. But
we are very very close to the end. But because we have Mona here, and it's really just the best Arabic movie at the festival. What do you think? Which one is it?
Until now, there is something that's going to be screened. My father and Gaddafi is the best until now for me. But there is also Cotton Queen is going to be screened maybe in 2 days. Everyone is telling me that it's a very good film. I haven't seen it yet, but it's a good film.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. We just something we do at the end of the program. We have thumbs up and thumbs down or wobbling. Peter Brush invented the wobbling thumbs. So, okay. For Frankenstein, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I don't see.
Okay, wobbling, all wobbling, three wobblings. From Gianfranco Rosi. Ay, 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 wobbling again. Okay, we have one title left from yesterday. We always keep the title that got more thumbs from the beginning of the festival. So far, we have. I'll tell you which one.
Okay.
Sorrentino.
Oh,
La Grazia
really?
Had the most thumbs up. So oh. Sorrentino, thumbs up or thumbs down? Oh, wow, one thumbs up and two wobbling. Okay, we give Sorrentino because it's the only one that wants one thumbs
up. Can I do thumbs up again? Thumbs up, Bugonia. Thumbs up.
Okay, Bugonia. Yes, me too. Me too.
Okay. I do have some thumbs up titles.
Yes, okay, your favorite,
Bugonia and no others. So
yeah,
okay, wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I will thank you very much.
And
talk tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thanks for having me.
Fred, 24/7 on Fred FM and smartphone app.